Good morning. Let's see if you remember. Christ be with you. It is good to be with you this morning. I'm going to do something I don't normally do. First of all, I got to figure out where to put this. Just give me a second here. I've started a stopwatch, which is usually an indication that you have a very full service today. And I may take to heart Bob's challenge about letting the imagination run wild. In this case, we could be here for quite a while. Are we mic'd? We're good. Oh, Richard's giving me the thumbs up. Okay. I should start with a generous thank you. Well, there's an obvious thank you, and that's on behalf of Dominion Chalmers, the invitation to participate in this very important service, so we're very thankful for that. But on a more sort of humorous note, my wife just pointed out to me that you've elevated my education status, Reverend Dr. Andrew Love. I know you got to be a doctorate to preach from here, but so I'll take it. As a sign of listen, it's still an aspirational goal for me. As the years get on, it gets harder and harder. But the truth is, I really just want to be able to call myself Dr. Love. But my wife points out to me, that's a lot of studying and everything you have to do to get a doctorate just for the vanity of calling yourself Dr. Love. So, well, who knows? I'm getting the negative, so just leave it at that, all right. Reverend Bob has offered an interesting theme, and the word imagination is part of that, right? So he's asking in Lent for the congregation to consider the power of imagination. Power of imagination to move and change. But he's also added an interesting twist, talking about a notion of a holy confrontation. How can those two things come together? Well, I submit to you, it's an important question because, well, we're at a very important point, a liminal point, and the folks here from Dominion Chalmers are probably getting tired of me talking about church in an age of change and all these, because it's been a constant theme that we've been looking at as a congregation. Who are we? Where are we going? What is God calling us to be? And I understand that Parkdale is going through a strategic process of doing the same thing. You're exploring, discerning, prayerfully thinking about not only your ministry now, but your ministry into the future. And being in a kind of that notion of a liminal stage it's an interesting word because it implies the change is happening whether you like it or not. Change has been happening now in the context of the liberal reform churches for at least six decades where we've undergone significant change. And the thing about being at a liminal point is we know change is happening. It's happening around us. We're part of it, whether we like it or not. And we know we need to take a step into the future, but I don't know about you, but I've got no real sense of assurance about where that step is going to go. That's about the notion of being at a threshold of change. It's happening. We're trying to influence and be shaped by it. But do any of you really, with any sense of assurance, can tell me exactly what the next step is going to be and what's going to happen after that? I certainly can't, but that's where that whole faith piece comes in. We're supposed to trust in the power of the body of Christ to move with the changes that are happening around us and to do so faithfully. But here's the thing about being in a liminal place. We know that change also brings conflict, division, differences of opinion. That's the holy confrontation kind of concept. And that takes us to our text today because it's really interesting in this passage from Matthew. We have this story of the Canaanite woman with the daughter coming to Jesus. But it's interesting, the verses that butt up against it, that just come before it, are that really interesting, yet another holy conversation, more like a holy confrontation between Jesus, Pharisees, high priests, and the scribes, which runs throughout the Gospels. Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees, and they chastise Jesus and the disciples for not washing their hands before a meal. Now, the implication is that is a Torah law. While Jesus, as a Torah-observant Jew, seems to know Torah law better than the Pharisees are supposed to be enforcing it. And he says, well, actually, no, that's not really a commandment. It is a halakhic practice in Judaism, of course. But he calls them on their own, he calls them hypocrites in different contexts. So we have this moment of where Jesus has this incredible statement about what defiles. It comes from the heart is where the source of defilement is. And Jesus builds, and then the very next moment, the story that we just read, where a Canaanite woman, what do we know about a Canaanite? Well, she's not Jewish. She comes with her daughter. And Jesus makes this proclamation, I'm here to save my fellow Jews. Well, what happens in that moment where the woman talks to Jesus? I submit to you, it's a bit of an epiphany. It's a bit of an opening of the door. Jesus begins to, wait a second. Maybe my ministry is bigger than even I think. Maybe what's going on, and it comes into full fruition after Pentecost, is the ministry into the world, the ministry into the Gentiles. So folks, if Jesus is able to have an epiphany and is able and willing to change his mind and begin to open new ideas, new possibilities, new directions, new hopeful avenues, surely to God, all of us can do the same. And this is where the work of imagination comes. Can you imagine an even more vital and renewed and dynamic faith here at Parkdale? I'm getting a lot of blank looks here. You're telling me you can't? You can't imagine that? Bob, you got your work cut out for you. Well, how do you do it? See, in all that, you're going to have division, aren't you? You're going to have different points of view. How to do this, where are you going, how are you getting there? You're going to have different understandings of what that means. Well, the very act of this service should be your guide. The act of covenanting is, in my view, exactly how you begin to imagine something bold and dynamic, but also seeing past the division and the conflict and the different ideas. Why? Well, because a covenant is so much more important. Okay, here's a bit of a warning. Not a warning, a spoiler, not even a spoiler alert, an unsolicited, gratuitous appeal to a book that I'm writing. I'm in the final stages of this, and my folks will be like, oh God, here he goes again, of editing a book, or The 7 Essential C's, the letter C, of a Strong and Resilient Faith. Now, wouldn't you know it? Covenant, the letter C, covenant, is amongst the top of the principles that I define for a strong and vital faith. You're going to have to buy the book to get the other 6, but let me just read this chapter to you. So you're getting an advanced read on my book. Well, thank you. You'll be on my email newsletter list when I finally get it published. Covenant. Derived from the Hebrew word for agreement or contract, appears numerous times in biblical texts, approximately 282 instances. However, a covenant with God transcends a mere contractual agreement. It embodies an enduring commitment and an expression of faithfulness. At its core, the covenant represents a mutual relationship between humanity and the divine, with its fullest expression found in the person of Jesus Christ. This relationship can be likened to that of a parent and a child, where the parent seeks a deep connection with their offspring, reflecting God's desire for relationship with humanity. You see, to enter in a covenant with Bob, Parkdale United, and with the region, as you have just done, is so much more than just being another community group. You've made a commitment to do something that is significant. You've made, whether you realize it or not, you've made a commitment to a renewal, a constant renewal in the life, in the ministry here at Parkdale. And you've allowed the pneuma of God, the Spirit of God, to breathe that into you. So can you imagine bringing these ideas together? Can you take the rootedness and the groundedness and the eternal bond of a covenant and marry that with an imagination for the future? God, I hope you can, because there is a desperate need in our world for just that kind of vitality. And you can do that here at Parkdale in this Hindenburg neighborhood of Ottawa. You can bring that world of an imagination to the groundedness and the eternal truth that is Jesus Christ. And may God bless you and continue to bless you on this journey. Amen.